Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas, and what we're doing is we're going through the Bible, and we've been going through the book of Leviticus, and we're going to finish up in the book of Leviticus today. Specifically, I'm in about the middle of the 25th chapter. We went over some of this quickly last time, and I wanted to spend a little more time. I was looking at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9, and I wanted to jump back here because of an email and some information I received actually in the snail mail, which I answered by email. It says there, "Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." So we're talking about the Jubilee here, but it's the 10th month on the 10th day of the 7th month. And the 7th month of his calendar corresponds with about what is called September in the Gregorian calendar. Of course, we know that September means 7th month. And of course, October means 8th month. November means 9th month. And December means 10th month. I mean, that's the actual literal meaning of the names of the last 4 months of the year is their place in his calendar. So when they changed the calendar, they left the names of the month there, I guess, as a witness to what the calendar was changed from. And so if what is called December, D-E-C, as like decade or decimal, which it refers to a tenth or a ten, which means 10th month, December, that means that the 11th and 12th month actually came after December, which places the first month in the spring just as the Creator's calendar does. So that's something that we all know, but we may not know that we know, but we all have that information. But putting the little pieces together there and going, oh yeah, how about that? You know, I mean, it's undeniable because we all know it. So it's hard to deny that truth when it's so much in our face. It's kind of silly that they renamed the month, changed the year, but didn't change the numbering of the months that were named after their place in his calendar. Okay, oh, and the other thing that I wanted to discuss, getting back to some information that I received in the mail, and I was very happy to get this information. Someone sent me a CD with some audio, and it sounded like they were having Sabbath meetings and recording it. And it was very interesting, and it sounds like the kind of Sabbath meetings that I would like to have or take part in. So I'll have to look into that, because it sounds like that they were doing it remotely too, that some people were calling in, so maybe it was a conference call or something. But anyway, they recorded it, and one man was saying something that I heard before and already had discounted, and so I heard it again and had to research it again. But it was when the month begins. Does the month begin on the new moon, or does the month begin on the full moon? And when the scripture says new moon, does it really mean full moon? And they went to a scripture, and let me go over here to my e-sword where I have this scripture up. But they're referring to Psalm 81. Let's see, where is that at? Oh yeah, 81:3. But let's read it in context. So I'll start reading it, verse 1. "To the chief musician upon Giddith, a psalm of Asaph, sing aloud unto..." And in there the word God, Elohim, our strength, "and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the appointed time, on our solemn feast day." And their argument here was that it says in the new moon, and then it's followed by at the appointed time. And their argument here for saying that the new moon is actually the full moon, that the month starts on the full moon, is because of this here. It says at the appointed time, and they're pointing to this word that is translated in the appointed time, the Hebrew, Strong's Hebrew 3677. So if I look at that, our good friend Strong, he wrote apparently from 3680 properly, fullness, or the full moon, that is its festival, time appointed. Now that's what Strong wrote about that. So the Strong's concordance and dictionary is not the word of God. So I thought, okay. So it does. Strong does write full moon. So perhaps if I highlight, and I'm in my E-sword now. So if I highlight the Strong's number there, 3677, and I hit on the little binoculars there to search, and the word, the number 3677 is now in my search window because I highlighted it before I hit the search binoculars. But, or you can type it in there. And just mark Old Testament, your search range as the Old Testament, because we know there's no Hebrew in the New Testament. And you click on search, because I want to search this word out. I want to know if this is really the full moon. And I've got more to say about that too. And I find out that this Hebrew word, 3677, only appears twice in the entire Old Testament. And so I'm going to look at the other occurrence of it. And the other occurrence of it is Proverbs chapter 7, verse 20, which I'm very familiar with. And it says there, he hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the appointed day, or at the day appointed. So according to this, I have to go with the King James translators on this one when they said in Psalm 81:3, at in the time appointed. I also did a search on full moon, and the term full moon appears nowhere in the scripture. I think that if the month started on the full moon, I think they would have put full moon in there somewhere. And I did a search on the new moon, and the new moon, the phrase new moon is, it appears in the scripture many times, and it never refers to full moon or says anything that would make you believe that the moon is fully, you know, the full circle-y lit up full moon, you know, that's in the middle of the moon cycle. So I have to go with the King James translators. I have no reason to believe that they got it wrong in this case, that when it says the time appointed here in Psalm 81:3, that it means nothing other than the appointed times. Not only that, if you read the context, okay, so we got that. Actually, this proverb verse in 7:23, it says, he has taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. It's talking about a woman who's enticing a man to commit adultery with her, explaining that her husband has gone off on business, he's taken a bag of money, and he will come back at the appointed time. So you're safe to come and commit adultery with me. See? It has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with the full moon. It only means that he's coming back at a certain time and we're pretty sure of it when he's coming back. It has nothing to do with the moon whatsoever. So if I said to you, I'll meet you tomorrow at 2:35 after in the afternoon over at Target, well, that would be a time appointed. That would be a time we appointed for a meeting there. Or if I said to, you know, my wife, well, I'll be back next Wednesday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. That would be an appointed time. And that's all it means here, is an appointed time. Of course, in the reference here at Psalm 81:3, it's referring to his appointed times, but not specifically the new moon. So let's take a look at that. Let's really, you know, let's really discern here. And really look at what's being said. Now he's talking to the chief musician. Take a psalm, bring a timbrel, a pleasant harp with a psaltery, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, comma, in the appointed time, comma, in our solemn feast day, period. He's not equating the new moon and appointed time and solemn feast. What he's telling the chief musician is these times, though they may be different times, they are the times that you're to blow up the trumpet, bring forth the psalm, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. and blow up the trumpet and do it in the full moon, in the new moon, not the full moon. The term, like I said, full moon appears nowhere in the scripture. And we'll discuss that a little bit more. But he says, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, comma, in the time pointed, comma, on our solemn feast day. So he's saying these are the times that you bring forth the instruments, you blow the trumpet. This is not a reference to any one feast day, but this is a blanket instruction by David, or the writer of the psalm, to the chief musician. Has nothing to do with the full moon. You cannot build a doctrine here, a calendar doctrine here, from this scripture. That would not be rightly dividing the Word of God. And there were several other arguments, and so we'll cover those while we're covering this, because I'd rather just put this one to bed. And the other arguments was that David said, and he was conversing, I guess, with Jonathan, and he said, tomorrow, or on the morrow, in the King James it says, on the morrow will be the new moon. And his argument was, because the new moon is dark, you can't see it, so how would David know that tomorrow was going to be the new moon? Well, I've been watching the moon for years, and the new moon is the dark phase of the moon. It's where you don't see it. And I can tell you if tomorrow is going to be the new moon or not, because I've been watching the moon. So I can tell on the morrow will be the full moon, I mean, or the new moon, or what phase of the moon will be tomorrow, because I can see the moon tonight. And if I can see it tonight, I know what phase it will be tomorrow. So for David to say to Jonathan, on the morrow will be the new moon, it's no great mystery. He knew that it would be fully dark, the dark phase of the moon, on the morrow. Not a big deal. Let's see, there was one more argument, wasn't there? Oh, my argument against this doctrine that the month begins with the full moon is that, well, when does the day begin? Okay, if you read through Genesis, which we have done, Genesis 1, the days of creation, and the evening and the morning were each day, was the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day, and the evening and the morning was the third day. And we all know that traditionally the Jew, the Hebrew, begins their day with the dark part of the day. Certainly when the sun goes down, the end of the cycle of the sun, when you can see the sun no longer, it is evening. And that begins their cycle of the day, because their day begins in the evening. So it is fitting that the cycle of the moon should begin when you can't see it. With the dark part of the cycle would be the new moon, just as the dark part of the cycle of the sun, when you can no longer see the sun, is the beginning of the new day. So there's really no problem there with that. And additionally, it is the cycle of the moon we're looking at. It's like the cycle of the sun. It starts with the dark part, and then the sun rises, and you have the day part. So the evening and the morning is the day. The evening and the morning was the day at creation. And the evening and the morning is the day now. And to begin a moon cycle in the middle of the cycle makes no sense. That would be like saying the day begins at high noon, you know, when the sun is the highest place in the sky. See, there's just not enough to base this on, and the scripture that they're basing it on is not the Word of God, but they're basing it on a definition given by Strong's, which is only used one place in the entire scripture. Like I said, the only other place that Hebrew, exact Hebrew word is used is only referring to an appointed time and has nothing to do with the moon. So you cannot build a doctrine on that. And I hope that the people that need to hear this, that are trying to, are changing their calendar, at least, you know, if they're really getting it, starting their month on the full moon, at least they would be getting the Sabbath days correct, but their months will be 2 weeks off. If they, a brief explanation of how the Creator's calendar works, I guess, would be appropriate at this point, since I've gone through all that. And most of the people probably hearing this going, I didn't even know there was a controversy there. Because when I heard it, I just thought, You know, I had to research it, of course. I want to research everything that I hear. I hear a lot of nonsense. And people just say stuff and it sounds good, so they believe it. And they tell others and expect them to believe it too. But I'm the guy who's going to crack the book and I'm going to look. It's like someone told me that, well, I'm not going to get into what I heard yesterday on a program on First Amendment radio. Some people just spout out so much nonsense that even if they're telling, if 80% of what they're saying is truth and 20% is just nonsensical, unresearchable nonsense, they just invalidate everything they say. By doing that, it's really kind of a shame that people do that. So, how does his calendar work? Well, his calendar work, you know, he said it in the beginning. He placed the moon, the stars, and the sun in the sky, you know, in the heavens, for times and years and for seasons and for appointed days and so forth. You can go back there and read it yourself in the first chapter of Genesis. And he did what he said he would do. If you watch the moon cycle, the new moon is the dark part of the cycle. You can't begin a cycle in the middle of a cycle. You can't say, well, it's the full moon, that's the new cycle. Now, you don't begin a cycle in the middle. It's a new moon because it's a new cycle of the moon. Okay? So the new moon is the dark part. And that would be the first day of his calendar month is a new moon day. That would be day one. And it's a new moon, and it's in the classification of a Sabbath day. And that's why you always see it, new moons and Sabbaths, new moons and Sabbaths, because they're in the same classification of days. They were an extra day off at the beginning or in the end of a month, in case, because every other month, you have a two new moon day cycle. You'll have two new moon days together. And when you have two new moon days together, one is the last day of the month, and the second one is the first day of the new month. And then there are months where you only have, between cycles, when you only have one new moon day, and that will be the first day of the month. So the length of your month would be 29 and 30 days, depending on how many new moon days you had between the cycles there. Between the cycles. So the new moon day. So the first day of the month is always a new moon day. And it's in the classification. So you would put it over there in column 7. If you were going to put it in columns. Okay, and then the second day of the month would be the first day of the work week. And then you would work for 6 days. And the eighth day of the month would be in the seventh day column. And it would be the Sabbath. So the Sabbath would be, you'd have a new moon on the first, and you would always have a Sabbath on the 8th, on the 15th, let's see, on the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. And then if you had one new moon day, it would be the first day of the month. If you had two new moon days, the first dark day would be the 30th of the month, and the next one would be the first day of the month, because you had two evenings when you had a new moon. So that would determine if you have two new moon days in a month, one would be at the beginning of the month, and it would be in the seventh column all the way to the right. So that doesn't give you a continuous cycle of 7 days either. So the Sabbath isn't every 7 days. So if I'm looking at Abib and the first day of the month is a new moon day, well, it's in the seventh day column, and then I would go over to the first column, which would be the second day of the month, but the first day of the work week, and then you go 8 day to the eighth day of the month, which would be in the seventh column, and like that. It'd be nice if you had something you could look at and see that. Perhaps I should try to post that on my website. I got a copy of this calendar from Troy Miller, and I have researched it thoroughly. And plus watching the new moon cycle, I mean the new moons and the moon cycles for several years now, nothing has convinced me more than his calendar in the sky that this is the appropriate thing, plus all of the scripture that goes along with it. And I found not so much evidence for any other calendar that people purport to be his calendar other than this one. that I found here in the scripture and in his heavens. So anyway, we touched on that. I'm going to jump up here to chapter 26. We have chapter 26 and 27 to fill out the day with and finish our study here in Leviticus. Chapter 26 and verse 1. You shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I, Yahuwah, am your God. So you shall make no idols. What is an idol? Well, an idol is a fictitious entity, is it not? You shall make no idols. And, you know, an idol that takes the place of the Heavenly Father, an idol that is a law giver, that is an idol. And so the first part of this is you shall make no idols, nor graven image. So it's equating a graven image with an idol. And the word image is what? An imagination. And if you'll remember from Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which Daniel translated for us, he had made a graven image. Well, in his dream there was an image. And it had a head of gold. And this was a beast. And this image also has another name. It's called Mystery Babylon. And there is another reference to this image in the scripture. It's called the times of the Gentiles, because that's what this image represented, was the times of the Gentiles. And a lot of people, when they hear the word Gentiles, they always want to translate it as non-Jewish or non-Hebrew people. But actually, the word means nations. And there are times when you'll find the word in the Hebrew, Gentiles, where it's actually referring to the Israel, the nation Israel. But in most contexts, when people think of the word Gentiles, it's referring to the other nations. But the word does mean nations. So now if we take the term, the times of the Gentiles, and we say it like this, the times of the nations. Okay, and what are the times of the nations? Of course, referring to the nations of men. And this image dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of Mystery Babylon, so Mystery Babylon was this image. This image was also an image of the times of the nations, or the times of the Gentiles, prophetically speaking. Because this image represented all of the nations of man for all time, all the way from the head of gold, which was Babylon, the first worldwide government. And that doesn't mean that he actually ruled over everyone on the earth. I'm sure there were people in pockets here and there or on other continents who were self-governing or self-ruling amongst their own tribe or whatever. But it was the first, you know, perceived worldwide government, Babylon, having conquered all the known world historically. And so this image of the head of gold, and then it goes down and it describes all of the beasts, all of the governments as beasts in this image, all the way to the end. And then we find out that it has 10 toes or feet and 10 toes of iron and clay mixed. And in his dream, this great mountain comes out of the sky or out of the heaven. And this mountain represents the kingdom of God. And it strikes the image in the feet. So all of these, from the head of gold down to the feet, are the governments of all mankind for all time. This is Mystery Babylon. This represents the times of the Gentiles, or the times of the nations. And then the kingdom of God strikes the image in the feet. And then the whole image, all of the nations of men, are scattered, and it says, like the chaff which the wind blows away, and that so that no place is found for them. And you know, what a glorious day that'll be when the Messiah comes, and he will physically and literally come again and establish his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. That's what the scripture says. And I believe in the millennial reign of Christ, and all of the kingdoms of men all of these images, the entire image of Mystery Babylon, all of the kingdoms of mankind for all time will be totally obliterated so that no place will be found for them. Now I ask you, is that sound Bible teaching? Is that sound prophecy so that you can understand it? Is that too simple? I'm certainly not going to sell any books on that one. Certainly ain't as exciting as all the so-called self-proclaimed prophecy teachers there out there, but there you have it.